website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Arlington at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We look forward to having your dialogue and discussion. We'll be speaking about an issue that really is boils down to several issues during the course of this week. On your ballot, November the 5th, about 40 days from now, 42 days from now, there'll be six amendments to amend the Florida State Constitution. We're going to be talking about those amendments this week. We'll be talking about Amendment 3, which is the pot amendment called recreational marijuana today. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about the Amendment 4, which is murder by way of abortion, called the Women's Health Care Amendment, as they like to call it. Then for the balance of the week, we'll be talking about both of those amendments, as well as Amendments 1 through 6, the totality of it, what it means, who's sponsoring it, why is it there, how we should vote, and more particularly, ladies and gentlemen, how we should view truth and face it based on the Word of God. What should we do? I think the bottom line is, during the course of this week, we want to illustrate, talk about, and promulgate the reality of what Christians ought to do. And more particularly, I'm praying today and for this week that we'll have the attention of pastors. May I say it this way? Pastors that have no spine, that perhaps it'll help them to grow a spine, to speak about moral, ethical, theological, doctrinal, political issues from the pulpit, so that we can be part of the solution in saving America and preserving our constitutional republic and preserving the biblical truths that God has given us and the opportunity to serve Him. That's my desire. That's my prayer. And as we face the issues each and every day, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The truth book. I call it the truth book because Jesus, speaking to His disciples, said, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That's John 8:31-32, John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Bible. It says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And when we talk about issues, we need to deal with the issues, viewing the issues through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? It's not a matter of what some philosophical rhetoric says, not a matter of some political jargon or denominational dogma, but what does the Scripture say? What does God say? How should we live? What should we do? We're witnessing today the encroachment on our morals and ethics and values. In fact, Tony Perkins said about 2 years ago, he said, this administration, talking about the Harris-Biden administration, has done more to harm our faith, our family, and our freedoms than all other presidents combined. And that is true. And if we see these amendments that are proposed on the ballot, if we see them passed, and fortunately it takes 60% plus, but I am afraid, ladies and gentlemen, if we are silent as Christians, if we sit in the pew and do nothing, if we do not stand for truth, then we're going to witness a barrage of unethical, unholy, ungodly, unbiblical events taking place that will destroy our churches and our future as a free people with liberties, religious liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, people do not like to hear truth. They reject truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factual today. I want to say truthful, but we find that to be factual today. But truth still matters. Whether you accept it or not, whether you reject it or not, truth still matters. And when it comes to these amendments, the Pot Amendment, recreational marijuana, Amendment number 3, or the Murder by Way of Abortion Amendment, Amendment number 4, and I could go into the others, but we're not going to convolute those right now with what we're saying. But you can take those amendments, ladies and gentlemen, and the de facto lies that are being promulgated on television and in the newsprint and being pushed by the pot industry, ladies and gentlemen, is just absolutely a fraud being perpetrated on the public. We need to recognize truth. But the sad thing is, according to the latest survey, I'm looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. If there's no absolute truth, where do we land? What do we do? How do we stand? But this article goes on to say that 55% of the younger Americans, millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. You can't bifurcate truth and still call it truth. It's a whole lie. And that's what we see taking place today when it comes to these amendments. That's what we see taking place today when it comes to the Harris-Biden campaign and what they're saying about her truthfulness. If you want to know what's truth, just open, watch her open her mouth and you can recognize the lie immediately. And we find our whole of society today wanted to prevaricate, as it is called, and have a variant from the truth and still call it truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer John Huss. John Huss says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge every day on this broadcast. We're challenging the listener to stand for truth. Do not be deceived. Do not recognize, do not somehow, some way embrace that which is unholy, ungodly, unethical, and immoral, and somehow, some way say it's okay. I'm willing to stand for truth, and I pray that you are. And the purpose of this broadcast each and every day is to challenge you, our listeners, and perhaps even ferreting out just simply the conservatives, the Christians, and the patriots that will stand for truth. Be heard and be seen in these last days that we're living in. I'm looking at another quote from Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. Do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. It is a good thing to do, I believe, and it's my challenge today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment that is needed. The Tools for Time knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand, landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how can I find it? That's a good question. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful, beautiful, benchmark identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole at the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is professor of theology and Bible in Conservative Theological University. In just a moment, we ought to come together in our conversation, dialogue, and discussion about the issue today. Just say no to pot. Ladies and gentlemen, in 40, I believe it's 43 days, could be 42 days. Time is flying if you haven't noticed it. In the next 40 to 42 days, we the people will cast a ballot. And the ballot is not just for the election of a president, though that is true, but the ballot that we cast this November the 5th will be for the ethics and the values and the morals and the freedom and for our family and faith, as well as the future of our city and our state and our nation. That's a mouthful. We're literally casting a ballot for the destiny of our nation and for the survivability of we the people to still have the freedoms that our Bill of Rights affords us in the future. Or our ballot will allow the destruction, the deterioration, and the absolute chaos that will come about as a result of the wrong vote. So it's my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, we'll vote according to the Word of God. It is my prayer today that we'll not only elect President Trump, re-elect him as president, to be used of God for the, how would you say, the tenacity and his strength to preserve our constitutional republic. Now listen, I'm not saying we're voting for Jesus. Hear me. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And I say President Donald J. Trump is our president. And there's a vast difference. We're not trying to elect a person that is pure and perfect and sinless. We're electing a person that we believe will have the tenacity, the knowledge, the willpower, the ability to stand and preserve our constitutional republic. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that in the state of Florida, we will be casting a ballot to say yes or no on six amendments, two of which are absolutely dastardly, they're absolutely disgusting, and they're majorly deceptive in what they're saying. We need to be able to say no on some of these constitutional amendments, Amendment 3 and 4 in particular. We'll talk about the others. This week we'll be discussing that which is true and that which is the lie. We'll be discussing what is being called, we're being called upon to believe. But first of all, let me say that today I am against using the ballot initiatives. You understand what's happening? Our Constitution for the United States of Florida since 1973 has been amended 127 times. I call it the Swiss cheese Constitution. We're literally using the Constitution and its amendments when deep-pocketed power brokers will have things that they want to pass that they know cannot pass muster in the legislative process, so therefore they will buy signatures on petitions in order to get initiative put on the ballot, and then they will throw millions of dollars at that initiative to try to promote it on television, radio, newspaper, et cetera, and signage to try to convince we the people that we need to vote for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about it. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go with the question or comment, please.
Pastor, can I change the subject for one call? I don't know who else to ask this question.
All right.
I wanted to ask you about the Shroud of Turin. I don't know how much you know about that, but I've been watching a lot of videos lately on that, and they all seem to say that that's the actual image of Jesus, and the Shroud is correct, and all of that. But according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, it says that it's a shame for man to have long hair. And every image on that shroud has Jesus with long hair. I see a problem there. Do you?
Well, let me make a couple, two or three comments. Number one, I'm totally, totally opposed to trying to venerate and somehow authenticate the shroud. I disbelieve it. Do not believe it's the shroud of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of the long hair. Keep in mind, according to the scripture, Jesus had taken a Nazarite vow, and in the Nazarite vow, there would not be, anyone that would have the Nazarite vow would wear long hair and not be cut. Now, when it comes to what you're talking about in that shame to have long hair, you find also it's a shame for a woman to cut her hair. That was custom and culture and not doctrine and theology. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where a woman was said not to cut her hair. Why? Because if a woman in that custom, in that era, were to cut her hair and walk down the street, she's saying to the world, I'm available. I'm available. I'm not in submission to my own husband. There's a vast problem with that in modern society. That goes back to culture and custom and not theological doctrinal belief. I believe for the past many, many, many years now, every now and then, they'll come out and try to find another little tidbit, another little nuance to try to say that that was true. Now, why do I say that? Because when you go back and you look at Jesus' shroud, when he left the tomb, he left two pieces. One was the head wrapping that was left wrapped and on the floor when he walked out of the tomb, and the balance was his body wrapping. It was not a single wrapping, as they call today the Shroud of Turin, that they're trying to venerate as being Jesus's. I believe it's an old document. I believe it's an old shroud. I believe it's an old piece of cloth, but I do not believe that it was wrapping the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that succinctly, dogmatically, because they're trying to venerate something, to have something that's in the hands of a certain religious group that can hold on to something and worship that shroud. Those same people that are trying to vindicate and venerate the shroud also have multitudes of other things that they worship. It sounds gross and bad, but there's supposed to be a pubic hair of Mary that's encapsulated in glass that's being worshipped as that belonging to Mary, the mother of Jesus, that is under glass and is to be worshipped. Anything that can be a portion of the cross that supposedly they have that is being venerated is the cross of Jesus, and they look at it then and want to worship it. I say, no, no, no. We need to go back to, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, not some image, not some shroud, not some piece of material or something that is just aberrant to anything that we would be called worshiping. I pray that that gives you a little grits.
Well, can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead.
With all due respect, I know Jesus was a Nazarene, but I don't remember anywhere in the Bible saying that he took a Nazarite vow.
You're correct. He was the Nazarene, and as such set the example. And there was no such thing as going to the barber and having a razor cut every week, as is custom today. It's just like with the men today. We're in a change of culture and custom today where many, many, many men have a full beard. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. I particularly don't like that. I have family members that wear a long beard, and that's their prerogative. And long hair was not something that was looked at as being a sin in Jesus' era. It was simply putting on the basis that there's the differentiation. And I know today that we've kind of washed away all differentiation, the male and female. There's the mindset today that you just should use pronouns and not he or she. But that was not the case in that era. It was simply pointing out that there's a role for men, there's a role for women, and it was the custom and the culture of that era. But it's my prayer that we'll recognize that we need to go back to the rudimentary fundamental elementals of the faith and not the peripheral of some denominational dogma. But Bob, thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, just say no to pot. I'm calling recreational marijuana pot. That's the, you know, back in the 60s, they were called potheads. And today you want to glorify it and somehow, some way, make it look acceptable. But ladies and gentlemen, the most serious of the six amendments on the ballot for the state of Florida are Amendments 3 and Amendments 4, Amendment 4. That is the Pot Amendment, Amendment 3, and the Murder by Way of Abortion, Amendment 4. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Pot Amendment, if approved, will allow marijuana to be on every street corner. Listen, let me touch on this and then I'll bring Dr. Phelps in on the conversation. Do you recall back just a few years ago when medical marijuana was introduced, and it was introduced by an amendment on the ballot, just as this is? John, what's his name? Morgan and Morgan, bragged about the fact he had spent $6 million to have it put on the ballot. Bragged about the fact that when it was passed, he had a party, and he was about three sheets to the wind when he made the statement, holding his stem glass in his hands. He said, this is the beginning. We've gotten the nose of the camel in the tent, but we'll have him in the tent just in a short time. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, the major promulgators, pushers, financiers of this amendment, Amendment 3, the Pot Amendment, bought, paid for by those that are growing, selling, producing, marketing, and distributing marijuana across the nation. You remember, ladies and gentlemen, just hadn't been too many years ago now, maybe 40 or 50, that the tobacco industry, while showing a Camel cigarette being puffed on, the Marlboro cigarettes being puffed on the television ads, talking about how safe it was, they'd put filters on them that would prevent it harming the lungs, etc. Well, we know that's a lie now, but we're told everything was safe then. Millions have died, millions are still dying, and on pharmaceutical help for the rest of their lives because of smoking cigarettes. And we're told now that marijuana is okay, it's not harmful, but it will be beneficial to you, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an absolute demonic lie. And yet multitudes today are embracing it, believing it, accepting it. And we have young people today, youth today, and by the way, these ads on television for the Amendment 3 saying vote yes on Amendment 3, that we can have adults can buy legal, lab-tested, safe marijuana. No such thing. Legal, lab-tested, and safe. It is not safe. It is, if it's voted on, it may be legal. They voted on, and some states now have total legalized murder by way of abortion. It doesn't make it right. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the depth and the breadth of that. We're going to take it apart on this broadcast today. And it's my prayer that you'll stay tuned. Pick up the telephone and call friends, relatives, and neighbors. Text them. Tell them to tune in. And I invite you to call in with your questions, your comments. But here's some questions I'd like you to answer for us today, ladies and gentlemen. Has your pastor preached against this in the pulpit? Have you had anyone in the, how would you say, religious circles in your church, in your denomination, saying that this amendment is wrong, it's harmful, it's ungodly? Have you had anything like that coming out of the pulpit? My question to you is why? I'd like to hear from you. Has your pastor preached against it? Has he talked against it? Has he said anything about how you should vote in this election cycle, what is godly, what is good, and the recommendations from the pulpit, from the Word of God? I'd like to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, thank you so much for taking time to join me today on this, what I think is a very serious discussion, just say no on pot. If we pass the Amendment 4 for abortion, state of Florida will become the murder capital of the state. If we pass the Amendment 3 for pot, we'll become the pot capital of the United States of America for those to come in. So what say you? Should Florida be bought and paid for and controlled by the marijuana industry?
The Bible teaches us to avoid or deny things that are ungodly.
Yes.
And I want to do some reading, if I may,
yes,
just a few passages,
go
maybe
ahead
later on the rest. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, we begin reading like this. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells us, and we need to heed the Word of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I notice that word, deny. That word means say no to pop.
Yeah.
It means we should decline to do that. We should refuse to participate. It's something we should avoid. Mm-hmm. And so we need to heed the warnings that we find like this in the Word of God. And when we do, we believe that God will bless us. But see, God is watching. And He watches what the people call Christians do.
Yes.
We need to be careful that we do not participate with the ungodly in their ungodly deeds.
That's a good statement, well-crafted, and I believe our listeners need to adhere and understand. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I am saddened by the fact that I read and listened to a video very recently dealing with this pot amendment. and based on some surveys of some of the universities in the state of Florida, have already determined that this amendment will pass by between 62 and 67%. It takes 60% plus to pass the amendment. And they're already telling us that based on their interviews, and I watched some of the interviews, one person said, well, you know, we made alcoholic beverage legal, and that made it safer. Another one said, well, you know, if somebody smokes too much pot or inhales too much pot, that they may be on the road, they may be inebriated from the pot, but after all, we got law enforcement, they can stop that. Let me just touch on a couple of things. There's no such thing. There is a inhaler that can be used for law enforcement on the streets to determine if you're inebriated from an alcoholic beverage. There is no such inhaler for marijuana use. Right now in the state of Colorado, that's had recreational marijuana for about almost 10 years now, the all crime has gone up 547%. Law enforcement are pulling their hair out simply because they cannot control the driving, the inebriated from the inhaling and the utilization of pot. They cannot control it on the streets. Traffic accidents gone up 127%. And by the way, in the state of Colorado, ladies and gentlemen, for every $1 they take in on taxes on marijuana, they spend $3.50 on social services. It may be now $4 or better. This $3.50 calculation and statistic was back almost a year ago, and it's probably increased that. In fact, the present governor in the state of Colorado said, perhaps we need to go back and rethink this issue. It's causing so much chaos, confusion, calamity in the state of Colorado. So, ladies and gentlemen, my position is we need to recognize we're being deceived, and it is my prayer that we, the people, will not believe and embrace a lie that will destroy the morals and ethics and values in our families, for our children, and for our grandkids. Listen to an article. As Trulieve, that's T-R-U-L-I-E-V-E, that's a major marijuana-producing organization, as Trulieve antes up millions for the pot amendment. The commercial begins, it's talking about a commercial, and they've got dozens of them now on air in the state of Florida. The commercial begins airing statewide over the weekend, that's over a week ago, according to the vote no on Amendment 3, whose fundraising has been dwarfed by the committee pushing for the amendment thanks to the cannabis company, Trulieve. The group, entitled or named Smart and Safe Florida, has amassed $90 million. As of August the 30th, they've already spent over $62 million to promote the amendment, according to the latest campaign finance reports. The article goes further. Trulieve, total spending in support of the amendment is Amendment 3, already spent $83 million. The other top sponsors in favor of the measure are fellow cannabis companies, and it names several of the cannabis companies. And then the article continues, Trulieve has contributed nearly $83 million to the committee since 2022 with $116,800 of in-kind contributions. It's not about access to weed. It's about corporate greed, this writer says. Vote on Amendment 3, spokesperson Sarah Bascom said in the news release. The Smart and Safe ads include a spot featuring a mom, a former teacher, who says Amendment 3 will create more funding for teachers like me and safe for our kids. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 100% lie. It's not a safe drug. It's not safe for the kids. And I can go back through hours of statistical data of what's happening in Colorado, what's happening in Oregon, what's happening in Washington State, what's taking place in California, what's taking place in other states of the 29 states that have legalized recreational marijuana. And the statistics are absolutely hair-raising and alarming as to what it's doing to our kids and grandkids and the preteens and the teens that are dying in the emergency rooms as a result of ingesting mom and dad's pot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WHJ.